Hey guys, welcome back to Love All, the tennis talk show. It has been way, way too long. I feel like when quarantine happened and when everyone went into shutdown, like, so did my brain. I was like, what part of just film an episode do you not understand to myself? But I'm back. So if you are not familiar and you're just tuning in now, I try to pick stories, current events in the tennis world, like on and off the court. I'm not so much as like following the tournaments and like every single tournament and every day of results and whatnot, like statistic wise, but I'm more like, I want to know the drama and stuff. So, but there obviously is like tournament stuff, especially Grand Slams mixed in there. So I do six stories because first to six gets the set. If you're just like, I'm just a fan, if you just like following tennis players and want to know a little bit more about their lives and like the current happenings on tour, then I'm glad that you're tuning in because this is the place for you. Let's get right into it. First story, US Open. Novak Djokovic, I am happy to confirm I will participate at the US Open this year and I'm really excited. Okay, not too surprising because he has hinted that he's gonna play. Not that he doesn't have any reason to not play, like, other than, like, he already got corona, so maybe he's thinking, like, he already got corona, so how bad could it be if he got it again? Or, like, I don't know how the immunity works, but can you even get it again in a few weeks if you already had it? I really don't know, but he's coming. This article shares the US Open has already lost Rafa Nadal, Ashley Barty due to coronavirus concerns, as well as many other significant names such as Stan Wawrinka, Kiki Bertens, Elina Svitolina, and Nick Kyrgios. Also Roger Federer because his knee surgery, double knee surgery. So Novak said he's playing in Cincinnati in US Open. It was not an easy decision to make with all the obstacles and challenges on many sides, but the prospect of competing again makes me really excited. Okay, he said, I'm aware that this time will be very different with all the protocols and safety measures that are put into place to protect players and people of New York. He said, I trained hard, my body's in shape, he's good to go. On the other hand, Rafael Nadal came out with his statement. After many thoughts, I have decided not to play this year's US Open. The situation is very complicated worldwide. The COVID-19 cases are increasing. It looks like we still don't have control of it. Oh, this he tweeted, but like this is his statement. You know, he did say all my respects to the USTA, US Open organizers, and the ATP for trying to put the event together and everything, and for the fans. And he said, this is a decision I never wanted to take, but I have decided to follow my heart this time. And for the time being, I'd rather not travel. So like, okay, but then I saw something on Instagram. Hold on, let me get my phone. I saw something on Instagram from Tennis Outbreak, and it said Rafael Nadal on why he will skip the US Open. Going from hard court to clay with hardly any time for preparation is dangerous for my body and my future. So I'm like, sir, be honest. Do you want to just make sure that you win the French Open so you just prepare for that on clay and don't even worry about the US Open? Or are you really worried? Honestly, I think it's both. Like, I think he's actually worried. Like, I'm not trying to start drama. But I do think he's actually just not willing to take the chance if something should happen, like, God forbid, and he wouldn't be able to play the French Open, or he just, like, would not, or he would just, like, get it, and that's, like, obviously harmful. Also, this came to my mind, and I was just like, maybe it's neither of those things, and maybe, and don't say that I'm spreading rumors. I'm starting one. I'm kidding. But I'm just thinking, what if his wife is pregnant and he's being extra, extra careful because he doesn't want any risk at all? He's going to see how French Open is still there because he's obviously not going to miss that. But that's only across the border for him. He's in Spain. It's not like going to a whole different hemisphere of the world and everything. Just thinking out loud, not trying to start or spread a rumor. If it comes true, you heard it here first. But it's like, I get why a lot of the top players are not playing in the US Open, but like for me, here's the thing, Novak, like why wouldn't he play? He has all the money in the world, private jet, so he can like sanitize a private jet, take all his team, take all his family, fly over by himself with his people, sanitize, like you're good. If you're flying commercial, like even though they say that planes are like actually not as bad as we thought with transmitting it, but like a lot of these players that are citing coronavirus concerns, I'm just saying like, first of all, you have a lot of money, so you don't really mind if you miss that check from the US Open. And also you have the money to like get a private jet for yourself. Well, actually, I don't know how much a private, I'm sure they do, like most of them. Like Stan Wawrinka, you can charter a jet. So it is very complicated because I see both sides of it. And I respect if you are concerned about Corona, like, then don't go. Like, I totally respect that. And if you want to play, I don't think you should be looked down on that or think or have people think that you're not taking it seriously, because, like, in my opinion, the world, we're still turning. Some sports have come back. Like, we have to come back at some point. I think we've got it in check a little bit. I think the US Open would not put on a tournament that did not meet safety protocol. Like, the whole world is watching. It's New York. They're definitely going to be super careful with it, I think. I hope. So, a lot to think about with that. Going on to our next story, Dominic Thiem's brazen dig at US Open absences. Tennis star Dominic Thiem suggested the upcoming US Open will be worth much less, quote, worth much less, due to the number of top flight players giving the tournament a miss due to concerns over the coronavirus pandemic. So Thiem said tennis is one of the biggest sports in the world, and others like Formula One and basketball have already returned. It's time for tennis to continue the trend. The absence of key players would likely make the tournament bracket easier to progress through, but all players would need to get used to the unconventional conditions. First of all, I don't know why Yahoo Sports has to use brazen dig. It's not brazen, it's true. Like, I mean, I obviously, like, agree with him. I think everyone agrees with him. I also saw something on Instagram where someone was like, that if Dominic Thiem, he's been so close, he's been in a few finals of Grand Slams. So if he wins this one, it's, like, just gonna feel like less of an achievement. He probably will always be wondering, or whoever wins will always be wondering, unless they play against Djokovic in the final, did I really deserve it? Not really deserve, because it's so random. Like, the Grand Slams, people have easier brackets. Sometimes people have harder brackets. Like, it's all relative. So I don't think that the person that wins should feel like they didn't deserve it. But also, you're always gonna think about it in the back of your mind. Like, oh, he won the US Open 2020, but it was 2020. Like, not everyone played. So unless he plays against Djokovic, then I feel like the person will feel like they earned it, because Djokovic is number one in the world. What I love about Dominic Thiem is he's just, like, honest. He just, like, tells it like it is. I didn't report on this because it was during my hiatus, but back when there was the whole talk about the top players in tennis, like, paying some sort of stipend or something, I actually don't know what happened with it, if they, like, went through with it or not, because I didn't follow it that much. But there was talk of the top players, like, giving some sort of money to the lower ranked players, because without tournaments, like, that's their income. And these top players who have won, like, millions and, like, all these tournaments, I mean, they're not playing, like, paycheck to paycheck, like, tournament to tournament. So if you're not playing anything, like, how would you make money? And the top players make money off of, like, endorsements, advertising deals, and everything like that. So Thiem was the only one who kind of, like, spoke out and was like, I don't feel like I need to pay anyone. Like, I earned what I earned. And I think he was thinking of, like, some players that might be lower ranked, but they're not, like, starving and they're not, like, homeless. I think that's what he was saying. Like, I see people that are lower ranked who don't have financial problems, so why would I, like, pay them? I think there definitely are both players aren't too harmed by the tour stopping, and those who are. And it was kind of, everyone was like, wow, Thiem, a way to not be empathetic. But it's true. I don't know. Like, he earned it. He's a good player. If you're not a good player, then maybe you shouldn't be playing tennis. Okay, that was harsh. But, like, I don't know. Just food for thought. Anyway, so segueing into the next story. Andy Murray calls for severe sanctions if players break US Open COVID bubble. So Andy Murray is planning to compete for the first time since November. And he said it would be silly to expect nobody would break the rules. He's actually into the main draw now, I saw. He was given a wild card, but I think because so many people have dropped out, he's actually in the main draw now, which is actually really exciting for him. As you know, I used to be an Andy Murray hater. I was just, like, a stupid teenager. And I think it's because he won Wimbledon, or he won something against a player that I really liked. And then I just, like, got to know him better and, like, grew up and matured. I love him. I wish nothing but the best for him, his brother, his mother, his family, his wife, his kids, his friends, like, his entire circle of friends and family. I just wish the best for them. I just love him now. Anyway, so he said, I think the majority of players will respect the bubble, but it would be silly to expect nobody would break the rules and the protocols. He said in the NBA, for example, which I think will be a similar setup for us, players have broken it, so we should be preparing for that. And that's what's really important. I think the repercussions should be quite serious, because you end up putting the whole tour and event at risk. Like, 100%. I don't even know why the rules have not been announced yet. if you're gonna do the crime, you have to do the time. It says the US Open CEO Stacey Allister previously avoided discussing punishments altogether by stressing the personal responsibility of players. Quote, I have a lot of confidence in these professional athletes, she said. Okay, yes, you need personal responsibility and you need to give players like the benefit of the doubt and be like, listen, we all know how important this is, just like do the right thing. But then you need to have a backup plan because some people are just maybe accidentally, or maybe they're just dumb and think they can get away with it and they might break it. And then again, it puts everything at risk. Plus, I'm just saying, do they even do that much anyways? When it's normally the US Open, aren't they just like in their hotel room recovering and then practicing the next day and then playing and recovering? Like, I feel like they venture out sometimes, but in such a big tournament, if you really feel a need to go to Times Square, then you need to reevaluate your priorities because you should be practicing for your next match. Anyway, I'm glad that he's gonna be there and I hope that he keeps everyone in line. I feel like he's a father figure for the tour. I don't know why I said that. And if you're gonna risk going all the way to the US Open just to put it at risk and derail the entire thing, you have no place in the tennis world. Next story off of US Open, just kind of caught my eye, the headline, Roger Federer's startling marriage admission. I was like, what? It's really not that crazy, but he just, in July, Federer made the startling admission that he and Mirka may have broken up if it not had been for her selfless decision to walk away from the sport. As we know, she was a top 100 player in the early 2000s, but was forced to retire after a string of persistent injuries. And it says she instead turned her attention to making sure her husband had everything he needed in his quest to become a tennis champion. And he said, it was easy for her this way to decide, like with her injuries. And Roger said, I said to her, don't you maybe want to stop? We could be together the whole time and have a great time. Then I won Wimbledon and I look back and she said, no problem. She put her career aside and said, this is more important for me. Honestly, that's just like, some people may think of it and be like, wow, she really gave up her entire life for like him to do whatever he wanted. But I think it just sheds a light on like every family has to make sacrifices. And for her, having a family and spending time was more important. I don't think that he's the type, like he's also like a family man. Like he says that when he goes to tournaments, he brings his, like he rents a house or a flat or something and brings the entire family. Like he doesn't have them in a separate hotel room. He comes back from his matches and practices and plays with them, helps to put them to bed. Like, I just think that, yeah, you have to have a balance in a marriage. You have to have sacrifices. And it's not all like rainbows and butterflies, and their relationship wouldn't be what it is today if like they both had a huge tennis career. But I just thought that was interesting. And it's nice sometimes to just see inside their lives like that. Kind of going on a weirder note, not weirder, but like darker. Next story, John Millman, Australian tennis player, said death threats are indeed an everyday occurrence in the tennis world. I was like, what? And says Australian tennis player John Millman has come to the support of AFL rugby team player Callan Ward. I think AFL's like Australian football. After the latter said he received several death threats on social media after a recent football match. So Millman posted a tweet on the issue saying death threats are indeed an everyday occurrence in the tennis world. So several other tennis players have spoken out about the impact of online criticism and bullying from fans. It's actually just crazy to think that this is like happening, I guess, pretty regularly. You're taking it to a whole nother level. I know we all love tennis, but if you're really like wishing death upon a tennis player that didn't win or someone that won against your player, like not okay. You cannot even call yourself a tennis fan because tennis is a sport of etiquette, okay? We clap when someone has a good shot. We don't clap when someone double faults, okay? We do not wish death upon people. Crazy. So I'm sorry to everyone dealing with that. That's actually just like really sad and really wild. I hope that it gets better. Last story, sixth and final story. We reached the set. Tennis stars, like these headlines, I just can't. Tennis stars model girlfriend destroys Fabio Fognini after elephant diss. So basically, Diego Schwartzman posted a picture of him and Raonic like just on a court together the other week, and apparently like a lot of people started commenting on Milos Raonic because he just like he had gained a few pounds. Like he's like a tall guy, he's like a big guy, so like I mean his legs and arms look fine, but like Okay, I am looking at the picture, and yes, his stomach is just looking like a little bit more outlined. But that's fine, we've all gained weight, it's quarantine. Apparently, like, Schwartzman disabled the comments because they were all talking about how Milos Raonic was, like, huge. So, Fabio Fognini suggested Raonic ate an elephant during lockdown, and his girlfriend, or what's her name, Camille Ringoir, I don't know if I'm saying that right, went all the way back to 2014, the last time Fognini, I don't know if I'm saying his name right too, Fognini played Raonic and put the Italian in his place. She said, like, not an elephant, just a breadstick and a bagel, because the last time he played, Raonic won 6-1, 6-0, so, like, breadstick, the one, and, like, when you bagel someone. So, I'm just gonna throw it out there that this girl wasn't even dating him in 2014, like, he had a different girlfriend. I know that for a fact, because he was dating this blonde girl. Hilarious story, actually. He was dating this blonde girl, and Justin Bieber, they're all Canadian. Justin Bieber, this was a few years ago, like, randomly posted her picture. She's a model, of course. So Justin Bieber posted a picture of her, like, on his Instagram. He was like, who is this? And ended up being Raonic's, like, girlfriend. And the girl was like, yeah, no thanks, to Justin Bieber, which was, like, hilarious. So when I looked at this, I was like, that's not the girl that turned down Justin Bieber. And I think they're relatively, like, a new relationship. So it's like, calm down with the headlines. Destroys. She didn't destroy him, she just said something. But this is the stuff that I like to that I like to recap the Instagram comments and, like, stuff like that. So thank you to the author for bringing light to this. I don't know if I would have seen it if not. Next. Oh, I do ins and outs. I totally forgot about that, actually, because it's literally been 6 months since I filmed an episode. So, an in. I'm just gonna do, like, an honorable mention story because I already did the six. There's just so much to catch up on. Vashik Pospisil, as you know, if you are familiar with Love All and you follow me on Instagram and TikTok and stuff, you know that he is bae. I just met him, like, a few times at the US Open with my high school tennis team, and, like, we all, like, fell in love with him because he was, like, cute and young, and we were, like, 16 and, like, in love. So I just, like, keep following him. I just, like, am up on what he's doing. So he ventures into the business world with functional mushroom venture Hetake. I actually don't know how to pronounce this. Hetake? I don't know. H-E-T-A-K-E. Do with that what you will. Basically, it's like a mushroom that's, like, put into a powder and you, like, put it in your coffee and whatnot, and apparently maximizes your performance. And yeah, so he is getting into the business world, and if you are interested in, like, supplements, I don't know if it's a supplement, like, I think, but you should definitely check it out. So that's my in. Bay is, you know, making a name for himself in the business world. And then my out is Corona. Like, you really need to show yourself out of this world. You have overstayed your welcome as it is, so if you could see yourself out, that'd be great. Thank you. Follow me on TikTok at Love All Tennis. TikTok is so addicting. Like, I just love it. And then my Instagram at Love All Tennis Talk Show. And if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe. If you are listening to it in a podcast, appreciate the listen. And thank you so much for tuning in.